Luke chapter 12, the Gospel of Luke, you have folks who are sick, those who have been unable to be out in the services today, pray for those that are missing, God would raise each one up. Luke chapter 12, let's go ahead and read our text from this morning, verse 1 through 5. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. That which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him, fear God, which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him, or fear God. Began looking this morning at the subject of hypocrisy. What's your definition of hypocrisy? How do you define a hypocrite? What definition is fresh and full in your mind when you think about Christ's warning about beware of hypocrisy? We gave you some simple definitions. A hypocrite is somebody who is an actor playing a part, not being themselves, not revealing themselves, but trying to put forth a different image, a different representation of themselves. Hypocrisy is an attempt to impress others, with hiding your real self to their eyes and to their understanding. Hypocrisy is the concealing of a corrupt heart, the concealing of a corrupt heart by displays of sanctimony. It's hypocritical if you're corrupt in your heart and you try to cover it up with religion. You try to cover up with spiritual things. Simplest definition we came up with, I think, this morning was pretending to be something you're not. Pretending to be something you're not. Or saying one thing and doing another. And Jesus Christ, in verse number 1, says, beware of the leaven. Much to be learned and much to be gleaned from his use of the word leaven. Beware of the leaven. In Matthew's record, the disciples understood he was speaking about the doctrine, the beliefs of the Pharisees. And so Christ called us to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the doctrine, the ways, the teaching, the style of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So we're to beware of hypocrisy. We're to beware of it on our own behalf. Guard ourselves against hypocrisy. We're to be aware of our being surrounded by hypocrites and the consequences that they may have and cause upon us. And then there's the identifying of hypocrisies and hypocrites, which, as I said this morning, I can't really explain to you how it happens, but pray that God would make known anybody who's misleading, misrepresenting themselves because of the consequences to yourself if you don't. There were three reasons given for why we should beware of hypocrisy. First of all, because there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Verse 2. Hypocrisy is an attempt of covering one set of circumstances and issues and trying to put forth another kind. Hypocrisy involves the burying, the hiding, the concealing of maybe the real person. And so avoid hypocrisy, because whatever you're covering up is one day going to be uncovered. It's going to be exposed. It's going to be revealed. Hypocrisy involves secrets. And verse number 3 tells us that secrets concerning hypocrisy are going to be broadcast. They're going to be publicly announced. The Lord Himself promises that. Verse number 4, we dealt with verse 4 and 5 actually for the fourth point. So we should avoid hypocrisy, because hypocrisy involves the fear of man, the fear of a person, the attempt to please someone else. Christ told us to avoid hypocrisy by not fearing man, not concerning ourselves with what they might think or what they might say about us, but concern ourselves with fearing God. Please God. Just concern yourself. May God help us to just concern ourselves with pleasing God. And if all we're concerned with is pleasing God, we're going to avoid hypocrisy. It's when we start trying to please and we're concerned with pleasing others that we get into trouble. So, we ended this morning's message with asking you, do you feel pretty good about yourself? Do you feel well enough to say, I thank God I'm not a hypocrite? I'm thankful I don't have the problems that are described in this text. I'm thankful I'm not like the Pharisees. Well, I came up with a great big long list of passages of Scripture where traits, behaviors, conduct of the Pharisees are mentioned and are easily identified as hypocrisy. And many of them would not be things we might associate with hypocrisy. So we're going to try to work through as many of these things as we can that the Lord will allow us. Looking at the Scriptures, you know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious folks of the day hammered Christ. They were constantly on him, constantly trying to trip him up, constantly trying to catch him doing something wrong or saying something wrong. And of course, they could find no hypocrisy in him. But I have to say, as I study the Gospels, and as I've studied the subject of the Pharisees and hypocrisy, I kind of want to say the Lord hammered them right back. I mean, if there was ever a subject he dealt with frequently, it was hypocrisy, and it was the hypocrisy demonstrated by the Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. He called them repeatedly hypocrites. And he called them hypocrites more than once. He identified behavior by the Pharisees as hypocrisy. And so let us look closely at ourselves in relationship to the subject of hypocrisy and ask ourselves now, I passed the test this morning. Feel comfortable with, I don't have an issue with that look at hypocrisy, but Let's look at some more references to examples of hypocrisy. See how we do. First of all, Luke chapter 18. And I really do have a long list, so I'll limit my comments and read the text and expound it a little bit and try to move on. Luke chapter 18. Verse number 9 through 14. And he spake this parable unto certain. He spoke this parable unto particular or specific ones that must have been present. And he knew them. He knew their hearts. He was able to read them, know what was inside of them. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. They were self-righteous. They were righteous and despised others. The parable has to do with those two men that went to the house of God to pray. Verse number 10, two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisees, the religious one. The publicans, the despised one of the society of that day. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. I mean, he's hamming it up. He's full of himself. And he says, I'm so thankful I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And I'm not like this guy. I wonder how much in sound of each other's voice they were gathered to pray. He wasn't ashamed of his righteousness, his self-righteousness. And the Lord is dealing with some self-righteous individuals. Those who trusted in themselves, those who thought themselves righteous, those who looked down upon others as great sinners, lower than them. So he spake about those two examples, the Pharisee and the publican. The publican is said to have smote himself on his breast and cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the passage of Scripture tells us he went away justified, verse number 14. This man went down to his house justified. The Pharisee did not. So hypocrisy can be seen in somebody who trusts in their own righteousness. How can it be hypocrisy? Well, they're professing righteousness. They're satisfied with their own righteousness. To put it in a simple way of understanding, they thought getting to heaven meant you had to do all the right things, and they thought they were doing all the right things, and they were comfortable with all the things they were doing. They were self-righteous. That's hypocritical because inside they weren't righteous. Bible talks about them being likened unto graves and sepulchres, and we'll see that before we get out of this message tonight. They thought they had earned and thought they deserved praise from God and had a home in heaven waiting for them. So much so they looked down upon others like this old publican. Anybody who is self-righteous is a hypocrite. Self-righteous because they have no righteousness unless they know Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Verse number 27, this verse goes right along with one of the definitions we gave you this morning. Matthew 23, verse 27, Jesus speaking says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees." He said to their face, "You hypocrites, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres." You're like tombs that have been chipped out of the wall, of a mountain, and to make them look prettier, they've been painted white. They've been decorated, been made more attractive. But he says to the Pharisees, they were like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead man's bones and of all uncleanness. It's hypocritical to say you're something when you're not. Christ rebukes the Pharisees for saying they were something when they're not. Whited sepulcher gives the impression that there's beauty, there's fragrance, there's something living inside. But a whited sepulcher is deceptive because it's just another grave. And a grave's full of dead men's bones. And there's much to be considered from the fact that inside are dead man's bones. We preached several weeks ago now about preaching to dead bones. The bones represent as dead as you can get. No flesh, no life, no hope of regeneration outside of God and God's grace. James chapter 1 tells us, if a man appears, I think the word appear is used, if a man appears to be religious and bridles not his tongue, this man's religion is in vain. So it's hypocritical to trust in your own self-righteousness, to think of yourself as righteous because of your own works. It's hypocritical to say you're something when you're not. It's hypocritical to say you're alive and to give the evidence of being alive externally when inside your heart's still dead. Your heart's still made out of stone. Matthew chapter 23, the first part of the chapter. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love to have the uttermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogue, and greetings in the market, and be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi." It's hypocritical to expect somebody to do something when you don't do that yourself. That's what the Pharisees' religion was all about. Making rules and regulations they expected everybody else to do, but they wouldn't do them themselves. That's hypocritical. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. It says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites." He's talking about the Pharisees. Moreover, when you fast, that means going without food. That means going without food for an extended period of time, which is not a pleasant thing to go through for the human being. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The Pharisees, when they were going through a fast, made faces and wore clothes that plainly evidenced they were fasting. They wanted glory. They wanted credit for their fasting. They wanted everybody to know that they were miserable. They wanted everybody to know how miserable they were. It's hypocritical to fast and be burdened about something and to be seeking the Lord about something and to give the appearance of being miserable and far away from God and out of fellowship with God. The instruction of Jesus Christ is, when you fast, anoint your head with oil, be freshly bathed, give the appearance that nothing is out of the ordinary. So that's the instruction of the Lord. And I always like this thought, they have their reward. We see this in a couple places in the Gospels, particularly in Matthew. They have their reward. The hypocrites that do things to be seen of men, they have no reward awaiting them. There's no reward that's laid up for heaven, in heaven for them. Those that do religious things to be seen and identified by men, they get identified by men. They get noticed. They have their reward now. It's those who do things the right way that have a future reward, lay up for themselves rewards in heaven. And I noticed something in verse number 16 here. I don't think it's ever jumped out at me like this, and I may be misreading it and seeing it wrong. But he says in verse 16, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast." I just read that and it seemed to jump out at me differently than it has before. They go through all this manifesting that they're fasting to give the appearance that they're fasting. Maybe that means they're not fasting at all. Maybe they just want people to think they're fasting. Maybe they're bypassing the inconvenient part altogether. That they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. The hypocrite and the hypocritical and those who do not beware of hypocrisy, they all have their reward. It's just not a good reward to be considered. In the book of Luke chapter 7, Luke chapter 15, you don't have to turn on this one. Luke chapter 15, we find the passage of Scripture where they just couldn't get over the fact that Jesus ate and drank with sinners, that he taught, that he ministered to sinners. But that's hypocritical because they would not let Christ minister to them. They never received willfully, they never received joyfully anything Christ had to say. They were always trying to trap him. So it's hypocritical to get upset that Jesus was talking to sinners when you wouldn't let Jesus talk to you. Just another example of hypocrisy. Luke chapter 15. Luke, the 15th chapter. This is a lengthy passage, so we're not going to try to read it. The 15th chapter of Luke has the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and the story of the prodigal son. We all know the story of the prodigal son. He asked Dad for his inheritance. He asked Dad for his portion of the estate, and he ran off to the world to enjoy the ways of the world. He came to the end of himself. He found himself feeding with the pigs and in the pig trough. And he decided, I'm going home. Or paraphrasing it, I'm going to go get right with Dad. I didn't have any of these problems when I was in his will. I didn't have any of these problems when I was an obedient son. I'm going to go home, and now I'll have plenty of my needs met there, and all will be well again. Well, here in this story of the prodigal son, there are some records concerning how the prodigal son's brother dealt with all of this course of action. As he sat at home and obeyed all the rules and the regulations, and his brother ran off and had a good time, came back wrecked and ruined, his brother comes back and they throw a party for him. That really bugged the prodigal son's brother. Verse number 28 of Luke 15, verse 28. And he was angry. It would not go in, therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid, yet I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Here he is practicing his Phariseeism. Here he is practicing his self-righteousness. Here he is doing all the rules and the regulations. And here his brother has gone off, come back, and Dad's all excited that the brother came back. And he was jealous. That's hypocritical. He should have rejoiced. He should have been glad the brother came back. But his pharisaical attitude caused him jealousy. He thought he deserved a party. In his hypocrisy, he wasn't even glad his brother came back. In his hypocrisy, he wasn't even willing to take part in the celebration concerning his brother. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 42. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Here's a little different line on the grave situation. Instead of a whited sepulcher, it looks like it's a grave in the ground that's grown over and nobody knows it's there. People just walk around and never realize there's a grave underneath their feet. That's what these Pharisees are like unto. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying, thou reproachest us also. Woe unto you also, you lawyers, for ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly ye bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and ye build their sepulchres. We'll stop there in that passage of Scripture. But he says in verse number 42 and in this passage of Scripture that they were hypocrites. And it is hypocritical to do what I would call a pick and choosing with your commandments. Everybody has their favorite commandments. Everybody feels good about themselves because they don't have a problem with their favorite commandments. But what about all of the commandments? It's hypocritical to pick and choose one over the other, to have some we obey and some we disobey. It's all the Word of God. It's all the standard of righteousness that Jesus Christ lived and fulfilled for us. And our righteousness doesn't have anything to do with our keeping the law, but it has everything to do with Christ keeping the law, that he might establish righteousness for us, that righteousness might be imputed to us. And so I believe that makes the law a standard that we can guide our lives by. We don't keep the law for salvation. Christ did that all for us. Our salvation is based on the finished work of Jesus Christ. But to establish our righteousness, he kept the law. Put it simply, he kept those Ten Commandments. I don't believe there's anything wrong at all or enslaving or bondaging about our keeping the commandments of God. Guiding ourselves by the commandments of God. I don't think there's anything wrong with having the Ten Commandments on the side of public buildings or on the walls of churches. They're a good standard to live our life by. But it's hypocritical to pick and choose two or three that we don't have any problem with and just kind of pretend like the other ones don't exist. It's hypocritical. Book of Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verse 1 through 9. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said unto them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandments of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The Pharisees placed the traditions of the fathers over the commandments of God. That's not saying all the commandments that man had come up with, the traditions man had come up with, were wrong, but they placed them as weightier than the commandments of God. That's hypocritical. It was hypocritical for them to place their traditions over the commandments of God. That's why we believe, without apology, that the Bible is our final rule of faith and practice. All things are judged by the commandments of God. All things are judged by the Word of God. And anything we're going to believe by tradition or custom or by document in addition to Scripture, it's going to have to be judged by the Word of God. Tradition should never take priority over the commandments of God. The traditions of man, and man's good at coming up with traditions. The traditions of man should never take priority over what God, what thus saith the Lord, reveals in Scripture. Matthew 23, Matthew 23:23 and 24. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. It's hypocritical to apply this saying in verse number 24. Strain out a gnat. It's like having a little gnat land in your water, and you making a big deal out of it and removing that gnat, getting it out of the way. You don't want to swallow that gnat. But then you'll turn around and swallow a camel. You'll get all choked up over the little, minutest thing. And you won't be offended by the grievous sin. Come up with your own examples on that. Sometimes we strain at the gnat and swallow the camel. I thought of examples that come to mind from Scripture. And it's basically hypocritical to strain over little things and omit the weightier, more serious, sinful things that we can get our lives messed up with. So hypocrisy is to be guarded against. Hypocrisy is something that Christ himself told us to be aware of. Because if hypocrisy gets into our life and we cover up things and we reveal other things and think we have control, it's going to catch up with us, and that which we've covered is going to be revealed. Hypocrisy involves secrets, the telling of secrets, the keeping of secrets. And secrets are going to be broadcast one day. Maybe in this life, but maybe at the judgment seat of Christ, maybe at the great white throne judgment, but they're going to be broadcast. Beware of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy comes about because you fear man. You fear what man might think. Instead, fear God. Concern yourself with what God thinks. Because God knows everything. And there are no secrets, and there are nothing covered with God. So let's just fear God. How do we do tonight? According to the hypocrisy meter. We were able to say probably easily this morning, I'm glad I'm not like those Pharisees. But hypocrisy involves trusting in self-righteousness, thinking yourself self-righteous. Hypocrisy involves saying you're something when you're not. Have you ever said, give the impression that you're something when you're not? Hypocrisy is expecting other people to do certain things, but not doing it yourself. If it's in the Bible, if it's a conviction, if it's a practice, a hypocrite will expect everybody else to live by it. A true child of God will first and foremost obey and do those things themselves before they expect someone else to. A hypocrite glories in appearance like a whited sepulcher. There's no glorying in appearance. We should glory in the Lord. We ought not to get upset when Jesus is dealing with somebody if we don't let him deal with us. We can't pick and choose when it comes to the commandments of God. We can't take tradition over the commandments of God. We can't strain at a gnat. Insist that the little thing be observed, and then swallow a camel and break the greatest commandment of all. Let's stand together, have a verse of song.